We're in the introduction to the third section of the Adi Show. We're just talking about one's working on themselves, the inner work. Okay. So he says, all the Gedolim on different levels worked on their own inner work. And the challenge with this is that it's not very clear to take examples from them about what we need to do. When we talk about halacha, it's very straightforward. If they paskan the halacha, it's a halacha. And we paskan the halacha too. We follow in them. But we can't compare when you see what the work the Gedolim did on themselves. Even if it's explicit, it's not always explicit. They don't write down exactly how they did all the stages they did. When you read the works of the Chofetz Chaim, right, you don't see the stages that he went through to become the Chofetz Chaim. You just see the final product. You know, you see him as he is, as a Gadol Ador. We don't see those final stages. So it's you cannot compare all the work that they did to get to who they got to be to our generation. But we have no other way than to learn from them and to try and see. I've mentioned this numerous times, but it's very important to, when you look towards Gedolim, you must look at what values they held high. And then in that value, you have to see where you're holding. But you don't learn from them what level they're on, and therefore what actions they did according to their level. And it's very important, because people often hear stories of Gedolim and just say, well, that's not for me. That's too much. That's way above where I am. And therefore they just drop the topic entirely. And you know, I would also drop the topic entirely if you would say to me, try and be on his level. But if you say, no, look what value he lived his life based on. And then I stop and I say, well, where am I holding on that spectrum of that value? Now I know from the Gadol Hador that that value is an important value. I know that. So where does that, how does that apply to me? So if his level of Shmiras HaLoshon, for an example, was one that he wouldn't say a word that would come out of his mouth unless he thought of all the options of how it could be interpreted by the person in front of him. And he would only say something which was so pure and so clean that there was no way of misunderstanding in any way by the person in front of me. And I'm not on that level. So for me to, like, I wouldn't speak. I would just sit there quietly all day. Maybe someone would misinterpret what I meant and they would take it their own way. I wouldn't be able to speak at all. But I see that Shmiras HaLoshon is a value. So it's a value. So then I can ask myself, well, where am I holding? What's my next step? And then according to that, we find two different ways of working on oneself. For those who have the book, where the right at the bottom of the page on Kuf Lamed Gimel, we find two different ways of working on oneself. Yesh shehit masru kol yemehem milvad azehirut v'chol haTorah kula ledikduk atzum v'nifla b'mitzvah achad v'yesh shekavu sulam miyuchad la'aliyatam. There's two different ways. You can either specialize and find one particular area which is your area. And any opportunity you have to work on yourself, you invest in that one area. And like we gave the parallel here once before, but if you pick up a stick from one place, the whole stick goes up. So when you have one area, which is your area that you're always investing in, then you continuously improve yourself. It's impossible that other areas won't go up as well. Of course they will. It can't be that you're so refined and so elevated in one area and an absolute slob in every other area. Doesn't mean that you'll perfect yourself in those other areas. Right, but naturally a person won't live out of sync with himself, where he is just a traitor to himself when he's working on himself so greatly in one area. So some Gedolim, or even simple Jews who took the matter of working oneself seriously, they would pick one particular area. Now that one area could be a mitzvah, particular mitzvah that they kept. Or it could be an element of hashkafa that they would like always speak about. So just to give very practical examples, And you find this also amongst groups. But amongst groups, it's more because whoever founded the group or someone who was very dominant in the group, it was their primary value, and therefore the whole group continues kind of following in that way. But in recent times, so you have many yeshivas where if something like Meron would happen, or if something like now what's happening with friction in Yerushalayim and other places happens, then it's obvious why it happened. Because of the bittul Torah of the Talmidim. Because they weren't keeping storim properly. Because they were coming a few minutes late. If you would have come at 9 o'clock instead of at 9:07, then all the Meron wouldn't have happened. And that's the natural response. Because Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam means that anything that ever happens is always interpreted through the filter and the lens of Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. And every positive or negative opportunity there is to speak about anything, it's always Talmud Torah. That's the mitzvah which is elevated and made primary. And there's a basis for it, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. But that becomes the one mitzvah which everything else has risen up through. And you'll have someone else who his mitzvah, his topic, is Eretz Yisrael. And he will at every opportunity speak about Eretz Yisrael and encourage others to come and speak about the values and the qualities of the land. And you know, you can buy Parsha books where whatever it is, but the Parsha book, everything in the book is one topic, where they see that same topic throughout the whole Parsha. And I'm saying it in a positive way. There's a book about Eretz Yisrael, there's a book on the Parsha, I think maybe Rav Lichtman wrote, where every single week he'll find himself, and then there's a book by Rabbi Sachs about leadership, where every single Parsha he will find a message of leadership that comes to the Parsha. These are Gedolim who have taken a topic, and I'll say in brackets about myself, right? In myself, whatever I always look for is always emotional health. Being well grounded, being balanced, like having good middos. Like that topic is a topic which for me is a topic I always look for and always pick out. And when someone's going through the parasha, he'll notice, either he'll notice Mefarshim's comments or he'll notice his own chidushim, which fall in line with his mitzvah. His topic, which for him is a primary one. Now, no one of any of these people that I just mentioned, Chas v'Shalom, would put down any other value at all. At all. We're not saying that one muscle should be developed and the other muscle is abandoned. Not at all. But when you take one topic and you make it primary, you become special at something. Right? If a doctor learns how to be a doctor and they become mediocre in every area, then they're not able to make a profound difference. But when after being mediocre in every area, they take one area which they specialize in, then now they can make a profound difference in the world. That doesn't mean that in other areas of medicine they're now hopeless. No, they're still well-rounded to the degree they became well-rounded in those other areas. And it could even be that the specialty that they developed will enable them to help other specialists in different areas because they have areas of overlap that they're able to invest and help and give guidance and counsel in their areas too, because they've become so proficient in one area. So this is one derech in Avodat Hashem, where you take one area, and most people on some level will find they have a natural inclination towards something somewhere. Right, within the whole gamut of Torah, people will find they have a leaning towards Shabbos, a leaning towards learning Torah B'iyun, a leaning towards a particular mitzvah or a particular focus in Hashkafa. People will naturally just find themselves, and I mentioned this before, but there was a boy in my year who, when it would come to the parshas of the building of the Mishkan, he was in Gan Eden. I mentioned it before. He was in Gan Eden. I don't know what happened to him, but I imagine he went on to be an architect. Because like he loved the dimensions, the proportions, how it all fit together, and what was used for what, and how it all... And he was like building little models on paper. He was sketching little models, and like he loved it. Everyone has their area, which is their area. So one derech, okay, that's one derech. Another derech, a different derech, is what he calls a sulam. A sulam means a ladder. Means you pick a particular topic, which you're working on, and you have a certain goal for yourself. A goal could adapt itself as you develop and you have more understanding of the topic, of course. But you want to work on yourself in a certain area for a certain time, and then you become satisfied with that, with the area. Obviously, you're always continuing to work on it, but you get to a level which you feel content with, meaning content enough that you're ready to move to the next topic, and then you take on a new area. Right? So you know how they have all these courses online nowadays, right? So someone could do a course, and then when he finishes that course, he takes the same course, just the next level, and the same course, the next level, and the same course, the next level, because he wants to be a specialist in the particular area. Or someone could say, no, I did a course in first aid, and I got to a level of first aid that now I feel, if Chas v'Shalom there would be a need, I could come and I could be there to give the first aid. Ah, but you're not a doctor. Okay, that wasn't my goal to become a doctor. First aid course, basic course in first aid, that was my goal. And I accomplished that, and I'm satisfied. And I'll do refresher courses from time to time, but I'm satisfied. And now that I've done that, what's next? Well, now I want to do basic Word and Excel so that I can function. Okay, I'll do that. Ah, but you're not going to go into high tech? I'm not going to go into high. That's not my goal. But I want to know how to use Word and Excel. Basically, I'll do a course in that. And some people do another method where they work on one area, satisfied to some level, a good level. They work on the next area. They're not perfect, but they're happy with the level. You see the two different ways? There's not one way, one right way. Different ways work different people, and everyone just has to find the way that they feel resounds with them. It should never be, though, that a person picks the second way because they can't be bothered to see something through. That would be unhealthy. That's coming from a negative place. I'll just say on that, just in brackets. Often someone has a decision to make, and it's not so important which is the right one and which is the wrong one, because both can be right. What's more important is, in their inner world, what's the reason that's making them choose what they're choosing? So the second example that we just gave now of a path of working on oneself where you pick one area and then pick another area and pick another area, that could be an ideal way. Could be perfect. But why are you choosing it? If you're choosing it because your style, your way is that you look more bakiyas than Ian in general. That's what you like. You like to be well-rounded. That's what you like. That's who you are. And therefore you choose the second way because it's more in tune with yourself, then it's ideal. But if the reason that someone would choose that second way is because they just can't be bothered to finish a project, now that's where it comes from. I'll do a little bit of this, and then I usually give up, and then I start a little bit of something else, and then I usually give up. Then that part of them is not good, because it's coming from a negative place. It's emanating from a place of laziness, of not having hasmada, not having grit and seeing it through. Did you see the point? So it's not so important which you choose. It's more important why you chose the one you chose, and where it came from within you. Regarding the first one, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rav Nachman, Teisi li, Tekayim tili Shalosh Shuras b'Shabbos. So the Gemara has a whole list of people, of Tanaim, of Amarayim, who they say that what made me who I am, why I'm going to get rewarded, if you like, but what made me who I am, what enabled me to become great, and they give seemingly very arbitrary points. I used to eat 3 meals on Shabbos, I used to daven with kavana. I wore tefillin. I wore tzitzis. And you're like, well, I also wear tzitzis. I also wear tefillin. I also have shalosh shuras. And I try and daven with kavana. But like, well, that's what made them so special. What's so unique here? Each of these amoraim took one mitzvah and they learnt about it and they researched it and it became their anchor. Their anchor that they were able to serve a Kodesh Baruch with. Rabba was medakta kon tzitzis. Yom echad ala al madregos v'nikra lochut v'lo zazim v'komo ad shtiken tzitzis. Now here's an example where he wasn't willing to move because that tzitzis was broken. I'll just tell you a story that happened to me. I didn't learn in a school called Hasmonean, but they had a base midrash program in the summer, which I attended, and they still do that. But they had in the summer, the way it worked that year was the school finished early. And there was like a lot of time before camps were starting. And Hasmonean had opened the base midrash and they had a learning program. And anyone could come, so I went as well and I was learning there. It was the year before I came to yeshiva. The summer just before I came to yeshiva. And I was learning there morning seder. And anyway, I rode there on my bicycle. I live in the same neighborhood, but not nearby. So I rode on my bicycle and I got there. And as I got there, I came off my bicycle, I noticed that the whole corner has come off. It got caught in my wheel. My tzitzis got caught in my wheel and it ripped off. I didn't know what the halacha was. So I went to a rabbi there. I don't remember who it was. I went to a rabbi there and I asked him, brother, what do I do? He says, first thing, take off the tzitzis. Because right now you're wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis on. So the garment was still intact, just the tzitzis had pulled off. He says, first thing, take off the tzitzis. It's better not to be wearing anything than to be wearing a four-cornered without tzitzis. Because it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Okay, fine, first thing. I bought my shirt, took off my tzitzis. Okay, now what? He says, now, the ideal is to go home and to get kosher tzitzis and come back, but then you'll miss the Torah learning over here. So finish the Seder of learning, learn well, and then go back and be tzitzis off. That's what he told me to do. Now, Rabbi, in that same situation, didn't move. He just didn't move. He wasn't willing to move Dalet Amos without tzitzis. He just didn't move. Until eventually he was able to get hold of a pair of tzitzis, and then he moved. Now, that was his mitzvah. Now, I want to just add one more point. There's a Sur Meira and an Aseh Tov element here. When you take on a particular mitzvah as your mitzvah, not only does it give you a sense of greatness and holiness or goodness, that you have some area which you're very unique and special in, and that you've specialized, and therefore you're more committed to other areas as well. That's one point. That's the Asay Tov aspect. As you become very specialized in a particular area, you feel more devoted to the cause, and therefore, even in other mitzvahs, you'll be willing to give yourself over to Hashem even in a greater level. You feel more aligned with Hashem. You say, Hashem, look what I've done for you. Or really, you say to yourself, look, Tzvi, what I'm doing for Hashem, and you feel like more devoted to Hashem. That's one point. But also on the other element, because you're so devoted to a mitzvah, and you've aligned yourself with it, when an avera opportunity comes your way, you feel out of sync to do it. You feel, how could I? We mentioned this in the Torah Libanus series. How could I, who am so careful and go beyond the letter of the law when it comes to the particular mitzvah that I've chosen? I'm so meductic on that mitzvah. How could it be that I would then go and do this aver? At a time of temptation, a person sometimes loses his focus. And he says to himself, oh, I'm not such a great person to begin with, and like I do things, and people do things, and you don't have anything to cling on to so strongly. And you just find yourself drowning. But when you have a mitzvah, which is your mitzvah, that you do all the way with such devotion. So let's say the mitzvah is tzitzis. So you say, I am so meditative on tzitzis, could I go and do that? It's not in line with who I am. It's not being truthful to myself. It's because myself is tzitzis. You know, you align your sense of identity with this particular mitzvah you've taken on. So not only in the positive does it help you continue to do more because you've identified yourself so much with this particular mitzvah and you've devoted yourself to Hashem so greatly, but also in the sur mera, being able to move away from negativity, you're able to as well because you're so attached to Hashem. He gives the example of the Chafetz Chaim, who his mitzvah was Shmiras HaLashon. That was his mitzvah. He took that mitzvah so strongly that he not only himself was careful about it, but he wrote a sefer about the topic to ensure that other people also would be very careful. And you could pick a mitzvah. And we did at the beginning of this year, based on the guidance of the Alei Shor, we did a project where everyone took a particular mitzvah that they wanted to research. One person so far has sent in to me the article that they said. Many people sent in to me what topic they wanted to do. What topic that they wanted to make as their mitzvah. And one person sent in his chabura, if you like. And I'm going to reawaken it now that we've mentioned it, that if anyone wishes to still send in a topic that they want to look into more, then you're welcome to do that. Send me a text. And anyone who's already picked your topic, who wants to send in a chabura that they want to prepare, not to give over, necessarily. It's not about making it public. Just for you yourself to have taken a topic and researched it in more depth. And maybe after you do that, you'll decide, that's my mitzvah. And then you'll learn the halachas more of it, and you'll take it on as a project, and you'll encourage other people. And you know, when you have ma'aseh k'safim to give, then that will be a natural place where you'll give ma'aseh k'safim towards that mitzvah, which is your mitzvah. Make a mitzvah your mitzvah. For one person, it could be mezuzah, and he'll buy free, he'll commission mezuzahs, and he'll give out for free for people who don't keep the mitzvah just because it costs money. And he'll make mezuzah his mitzvah. And he'll be careful, he'll learn to be a sofer himself perhaps. Maybe not. But he'll make the mitzvah his mitzvah. He'll learn the halachas repeatedly again and again. And he'll make mezuzah his mitzvah. He'll start a mezuzah fund. Or any area. Maybe it's emotional health and a person will be a fund where they'll fund people to have free counseling. Whatever it is, the mitzvah that you choose. But you take a mitzvah all the way. You learn the halachas of it. You research it. You teach about it. If you're in that position. You fund it every opportunity that you have. And then you pick yourself up through your special schus that you have. You know, lo aleinu, but when a person's like a kind of a good all-rounded person, but they don't have anything special, when it comes to their levaya, there isn't so much to say. He was a good person. Well, what was good about him? Kind of just good all around. But when you have something which you've taken all the way, like with Donny, in the levaya, everyone mentioned his smile. Everyone mentioned how when you're around him, you felt special, that he brought everyone in. And everyone felt that they belonged around him. And that everyone felt that he could be his friend. And there were many things that people said. But that everyone said. That everyone who spoke and everyone that I spoke to who didn't speak, they mentioned that point to me. His smile and how you always felt comfortable around him. And he made you feel welcome around him. And that was his mitzvah, if you like. I'm sure he had many more. You know, but that's the one that comes time for levaya. It's obvious to everyone what they're going to say. Like that was his one. It doesn't have to be obvious to everyone else. It could be obvious just to the person himself. Right? It's not about being external. But when it comes time for a levaya, there's one thing which is his thing that gives him his place in Olam Haba. Like he has an entry card, if you like, because there was one mitzvah in this world that he made primary. He specialized in a particular area. The Chofetz Chaim specialized in Shmiras HaLashon. He also wrote a commentary on the Yerushalmi. He also wrote the Mishnah Berurah. Right, let's not forget that. But how do we call him Chofetz Chaim? Why don't we call him Mishnah Berurah? Isn't that a greater expression of what he gave to Klal Yisrael? Really, like Mishnah Berurah is a far greater expression. His commentary on the Yerushalmi is not so well known. He has a commentary on Kodshim. It's not so well known. But Chofetz Chaim is his name, because that was his unique mitzvah that he invested in and gave his life over to. It's amazing. You have some speciality that becomes you. He gives other examples here. And the examples that he goes on to give are midas, not even mitzvahs. There are some people who emunah becomes their life. Working on emunah, teaching emunah, building the emunah of others, encouraging emunah. That becomes their topic they always speak about. And when they write a commentary on the Chumash, they call it living emunah. Because they're living emunah. It's emunah through the parasha, again and again and again. And another example, some people are yashar people, emestic people. So they see all the way through. Like one community that like I have in my mind of that is the Breuer's community in Washington Heights. They're people who are yasharim, people who are like the letter of the law, the key letter of the law. Like for them, the idea of like cheating in business, if you can make money, is abhorred. It's like, first of all, you're a derech eretz, and first of all, you're a yashar adam, and then afterwards, you can talk about all the other eretz. But like, that's the basis of everything, of being an adam yashar. That's the basis. And if, you know, that community or people who, that's their middle, would write a commentary on the Chumash, everything is about sefer ha-yashar. That's the whole Chumash. It's sefer ha-yashar. And everyone has their element, which is, and you don't always know what it is ahead of time, but as you develop, you suddenly find yourself like clinging more to a particular middle, which becomes like your middle. That's who you are. And some emidahs aren't your emidahs naturally. And you work on them at the same time. You're not saying I'm doing one and ignoring everything else. Of course, you always work on everything. But you have one which is like your guiding force throughout your life. So whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's a midah, but you have some topic which is your guiding force for your whole life. And you just develop it, develop it, develop it, develop it, and you become special in that. I remember there was once an avreich in Bnei Brak, who was thinking about leaving yeshiva because he like was learning okay, but like didn't feel deeply connected. And he went to, I don't think it was the Chazon Ish, it may have been Rosh Steinman. I'm not sure who it was, but one of the Gedolim in Bnei Brak. I think he was learning in the Kol Chazon Ish, but I don't think he went to after Chazon Ish, it was after Chazon Ish's time. And they said to him, which area of Torah have you specialized in? Specialized, I don't know. I've learned Shas, I've learned Shulchan Aruch. I've learned the Rambam. I've, you know, got a good breadth in Torah, but I haven't specialized in anything. He said, well, that's why you're feeling that you're not connected, because you've kind of basically covered everything and you're done. And they said to him, from now on, take Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel. Don't know why they chose Dafka that. Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel, and learn it again and again and again and again. And this rabbi became the go-to rabbi of Hilchos Shabbos. He became so knowledgeable in Hilchos Shabbos and the diukim that he made in the Mishnah Berurah. Obviously, he didn't just learn Mishnah Berurah. He went back to the source of where the Mishnah Berurah came from. He learned Masechah Shabbos again and again. Then he learned the Beis Yosef and the Torah and the Beis Yosef. And so he got to the Mishnah Berurah to understand it in depth. But he basically specialized in one topic, in one area. And he became the Gadol Hador in Hilchos Shabbos. Everyone knew that if you have a question of Hilchos Shabbos, you go to him. It took a decade. But that became his area. And he never had thoughts again about leaving the world of Torah. Because once he had an area which was his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he has an area of Torah which is his area of Torah, and he felt unique and special and developed in his area. And there are many Rabbanim like that. They say that Rav Goldbach was like that in Sanhedrin. They say Rav Goldbach's shirim on every topic were unbelievable. But when he taught Sanhedrin, it was a different world, they say. In fact, the only thing we have his chidushim on today is Sanhedrin. It's the only thing that he left in writing on Sanhedrin. It's an amazing thing to have a Masechta, which is your Masechta, that you learn again and again and again. There was a Rebbe here in Kamyavin called Rav Al-Ghazi. And his son, Avrom, that was always called. His Masechta was Bava Kama. And that was the first thing that he learned in Yeshiva Katana. And even though he learned other Masechtas afterwards, he did Chazara every year of Bava Kama. And the reason I discovered this was because I was doing Mishnayos for someone, probably was my grandfather actually, 10 years ago. And I asked him to take one, and he took Bava Kama. And he was a boy. Like, he was 14 years, 15 years old. And I was impressed. Like, when does he have time for Bava Kama? And I said to his father, Rabbi Gazi, I said, Rabbi, your son took Bava Kama. He said, Zeh ha-mesechet shelo. Zeh ha-mesechet shelo. He learns all the mesechtas, but he does Chazor Bava Kama again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And you feel you have a unique chelik in Torah. So that's the first way. Next time we'll discuss the second way. But the first way is that you pick one area, whether it's an area in learning, whether it's an area in midas, whether it's an area in mitzvahs, and you specialize again and again and again and again, and you acquire your place in Olam Haba through having one area which you're cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that area. So again, no one can tell you what that area is. The story I just told now is a bad story. Actually, he told him, do Mishnah Berurah again. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way usually, that someone just tells you, which is your chelik, you know? Really, only through discovering who you are, what your midas are, what the area of mitzvah that you connect to, what the area of Torah that you connect to, then you truly discover which your chelik and anahab is going to be expressed through. Everyone has to find the area. So homework, for those who haven't done it yet, choose an area which you wish to research more. I'm not saying you should take it on yet as your area. And I'm expanding it now. It doesn't have to be a mitzvah. It could also be a midah. Could be a midah. So even those who already sent it to me can do a new one of a midah. Choose an area by Shabbos. Like, we're now Monday. So by Shabbos, I would like everyone in this room and everyone who's listening to send me a text message of an area. Don't do anything about it yet. Just choose a topic. Just choose a topic of a midah or a mitzvah that you wish to research in more detail. Send me the text message. I'll send you back an encouragement. And then the week after, you can then actually do a little research on that topic. But that will be taking this to Lamaisa. Shukran.